Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
Happy Super Bowl Sunday, everybody. It's going to be some praying Chiefs and Eagles fans praying some end zone prayers today, I'm sure, so enjoy that. I tell you what, it is chilly out there. Honestly, I thought that here in Vancouver, we had kind of dodged the snow this year. I was feeling very optimistic. I was just praying right now that the spring comes and that everything melts away. But it's really great to be back home after spending some time in Halifax, helping my mom and dad after my father went through some very significant surgery. But I am happy to report that everything went real well, that he's home recovering with mom. And you know what? I went down to love and encourage and serve my folks in any way that I could, especially during such a challenging time. But I came away myself from the trip feeling just loved and encouraged and strengthened just by seeing their faith in action, their trust in God and his ability to heal and to see them through. What an example for me in my life, in my marriage, just to see how they've walked through this and continue to walk through it together. So I'm thankful for that. I'm also thankful for all of you, those of you that have known about my dad's surgery, have been praying, so I appreciate that. I want to thank you for that. Pray that you just continue to keep them in your prayers moving forward. You know, there's truly great, great power in all the connections that God has put in our lives, our immediate family, those that we love, but our church family as we stand together. And so I'm so thankful for that. So welcome to episode 2 of our month-long Power of Connections relationship series, with a message today that I'm calling Uncommon Commitment. Uncommon Commitment. A big hello to everyone joining us on our online campus. We're so glad that you're here with us today, as well as our Calvary podcast. For those of you that are on the online broadcast today, say hello in the chat to one of our live hosts that's there to pray for you. Let them know where you're watching from. We'd love to hear from you. And we just want you to know that you're connected to us. Even though there's maybe a great distance, we're still together. I also want to welcome everyone, either here in the house or online, that may be visiting with us today for the very first time. We're so glad that you're here. Take some time, if you would, to fill out one of those welcome home cards or let our host know in the chat that you're visiting, and we'd love to come alongside of you as you continue to grow in your walk with God. Now, before I jump into the message, I want to invite all our Calvary couples to a special Love is in the Air Valentine's event this Friday evening. It's a wonderful night of live music, of dinner and dance. It's going to be fantastic, but you need to get your tickets right away. So that we can get all the plans kind of nailed down. And so if you haven't made plans yet for Valentine's, it's okay. Here you go. It's an instant date night. So invest in your relationship. Come out and join us on Friday night. It's going to be fantastic. Stop by the Welcome Wagon on your way out to register and get your tickets. Or you can go to calvary.ca on our website, and you can do it all online. All the information is there. I believe Michael and Lita Cabal, who are our Calvary group leaders, are leading the charge on this one. They're doing such a great job. We want to thank them for leading and helping in that way. And so stop by and see them. They'll give you extra details. I also want to give an extra push for all of our students today. Parents, the youth retreat is coming up, as you've heard earlier today in the announcements. And so Wyatt and his crew are getting ready for a great retreat. And so please sign up for that right away so that we can get all of those plans kind of firmed up. You know what? When I look back at my life, even in my younger years, at opportunities that I had to go away on a retreat, some of the most significant times in my spiritual journey have taken place at those retreats. Something about just being away together, experiencing God in a unique kind of set of circumstances when everything else is kind of quieted around you. Don't miss this. Honestly, make an investment into your students, your teens, because this is going to be a great, great weekend for them. Now, as I mentioned last week, we're dedicating the entire month of February to explore how God has created us for connection. And His Word directs us on not how we can just survive community, but how we can thrive within those connections. These relationships are extremely important to what God has called us to do. And the truth is that our connection with Him, our connection with God, influences every other connection that we have within our lives, reminding us all that when we put Him first, that He equips us to serve and love other people the way that He's called us to. Now, there are many kinds of relationships in our lives, whether it's family, friends, marriage, or even our connection to God. And they can all be wonderful, but I think we would all agree that they're anything but easy. They're not easy at all. And if these relationships are going to be successful, then we have to do something different, something uncommon. We can't change our past mistakes in this area. Some of us would like to do that, but we can't rewrite history. But when we have a strong relationship with God, it is possible to have relationships His way, God's way. You see, God's love for us is anything but common. It's forgiving, it's unconditional, it's extravagant, and it's uncommon. It's a very uncommon kind of love. And once we understand that and have accepted that truth, we become empowered to show that same love to the people around us. Good relationships are possible, but the truth is they're not probable. The chances to have success in all the connections within our lives are actually slim to none if we continue to go at them with the world's mentality. So we have a decision to make. Do we approach these relationships in that very common way, or do we go at them in a very uncommon way? Now, Scripture frames it up like this. In the book of Romans, chapter 12, let's look at verse 2. It says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world." So this world has its own way of approaching things, a common way, that sadly over time has become widely accepted. But then the Apostle Paul comes along and he says, listen, don't copy that broken plan. You've already seen it, the results of that, especially when it comes to your relationship. Real life is not as picture perfect as we see scrolling through people's socials. We know that the behavior and customs of this world are messed up. They're messed up and broken to begin with, and they should never be modeled because they do not work. So don't copy that. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. Now, transform means that God changes you into something new so that you can experience the uncommon. He doesn't just say, stop doing that and start doing this, as if it's somehow within the power of our will to make those changes. It's not going to happen. That's why He gives us that power in His name to understand who He is. But not just to understand God, but to experience Him. Because when you experience in Him, you can walk through these moments. You can become that new person, the person that He has created all of us to be. And it all begins, as Romans 12, 2 says, by changing the way that you think. That's what this series is all about. It's hopefully a study at changing the way that we think so that we can tap into the power of these connections that God has surrounded us. And then Scripture says, then, and here's the result, you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. You see, the will of God Paul's talking about here in Romans is his purpose for your life, fueled and strengthened by the power of these connections, so that they would be good, pleasing, and perfect. Not perfect in the sense that you're going to attain perfection, but Scripture tells us that we can strive for it. We can move towards God's best. That's really the goal, the objective. Now, as idealistic as this may sound, God wants your connections to be good, to be pleasing, and to be perfect. Again, not that you'll perfect them, but that you'll strive towards God's best. He wants your marriage to be good, to be pleasing, to be perfect. He wants your relationship with your family to be good, to be pleasing, and to be perfect. If we follow this pattern that we've just talked about. You know, while I was away visiting my parents in Nova Scotia, I experienced my share of snow before I ever got home here. We had a couple of good maritime storms while I was there that kind of brought the city to a halt, as it does. And I feel like maybe it maybe followed me home on Sunday, jumped in my suitcase, because this last week has been filled with the white stuff and very cold conditions. But one night while I was there, I decided I would go to visit my sister and her family to have dinner with them. And so while I was there enjoying our time together, the snow outside just progressively got worse. It was like a blinding snowstorm out there. And so by the time I hopped in the car, I had a lot of cleaning to do to get the thing back on the road again. Now, thankfully, my folks have good snow tires on the car, so I had some traction. But as I approached the entrance to the highway, which kind of is a bit of an incline and then a set of lights before you get going, I could see that the traffic was at a complete standstill. It was a mess. And I'm like, oh, here we go, right? There's probably accidents. People are nervous driving. They're not prepared. So what's going on? And so we're inching forward. And I'm trying to get off to the left side of these two or three lanes of traffic to look ahead to see what's coming. Up behind me was coming a transit bus, and it was all over the road. And I saw the lights of a tow truck way back in the back of this traffic. But as I got out to the side, I looked ahead and I could see that there was a van and a car in the intersection that when the light was red had come to a stop, and when they went to get going again, they weren't going anywhere. Because under the snow was ice. The temperature had dropped so quickly in the evening that it was just like a skating rink. And so I think this van and car probably didn't have snow tires, and they just spun and spun, and they weren't going anywhere. But the dangerous part was that people began to get out of their cars. Very well-meaning, but it's a very dangerous situation when you've got these kind of weather conditions. Visibility is low. People are sliding all over the place, and now there's people walking in and out of cars. Some cars got their door open, their trunk up. One guy's pulling out salt. Another guy's getting cardboard because they're trying to push this van and car through the intersection. And they're slipping and falling, and it's just chaos. And so I'm like, what? How am I ever going to get through this? Because it's going to take a long time to get these people through and then get the traffic restarted. So I kind of edged out a little bit more because people were starting to kind of find alternate routes. Some people were trying to turn around. Like, it was a mess. And it was becoming increasingly more dangerous. And so I decided that if I could just get out far enough, I might be able to pick up some momentum and power through the intersection once they got the first car through. And so they pushed this van, they pushed it, and off it went, still kind of fishtailing as it went through the intersection. And then I kind of saw my window of opportunity, and I just went. I was committed now, right? I was committed to getting through. And so I picked up some speed, still had control, I had great tires, and I made it through the intersection. Now, I know these people that were in the intersection were going to be okay because now the tow truck was coming through and things seemed to be kind of getting under control a little bit. But I had to reach a point where I had to make a decision. I had to be committed. You know, being committed and having a determination not to give up, not to, to turn back, especially in our relationships, is a very rare thing these days. Our focus today in what we're talking about is this uncommon word of commitment that society has tried to stretch and warp and even redefine to fit their own agenda. And for many people, it's become an unpopular word. They don't want to hear about it. But through the Holy Spirit's power to maintain it, it's still the glue that makes healthy relationships work. You know, most marriages fail because of a lack of commitment. Most families fail because of a lack of commitment. But the truth is that no matter how much you love God, it is inevitable that we will face challenges in all of the connections that are within our lives, all of our relationships. But Jesus modeled a way through the mess. He showed us a route that we could take to get us through these times in our lives. But he's not expecting you to live a life of uncommon commitment without walking it out himself first, to model it for us, to give us hope that we have this high priest who can navigate the way, make it through, and he says, follow me. Turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 13. Let's look at verse 5, in the second part of that verse, and it says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. I want to if you've got your Bibles, circle, highlight, do whatever you got to do to that word, never. Because there's great depth and great strength to that one little word, never. There's nothing that you can do to stop the love of Jesus in your life. There's nothing that you can do to stop him from pursuing you, from knocking. His mercy endures forever. That's uncommon commitment. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Somebody here today or online needs to hear that today. Never. That's a promise. God wants to bring us to a place where we strengthen our own relationships with that kind of never commitment, right? Sometimes you have to put your foot on the gas, even if you think you might get stuck, in order to succeed, in order to move forward and to gain ground. Quite often throughout Scripture, God uses through Jesus the picture of marriage to help us understand what it takes to make our relationships prosper and to grow. This is a wonderful example, and it helps us to understand what uncommon commitment can and should look like. Now, I've conducted plenty of weddings over my career as a minister. I've spoken the words for better or worse, richer or poorer, in sickness and in health, as long as you both shall live till death do us part. I've spoken those words many times to many different couples. And those are powerful words of commitment that are all about eliminating the options in our relationships. It's being someone that can be counted on. It's being the kind of person that when things get rough, that they know you will still be there. It's about being a never kind of person. I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. I'm never going to leave you in the lurch. Again, we strive for perfection. We don't always get there, but we do work towards God's best, at least the best that he has for us or intends for us. You know, I grew up as a kid going with my dad. We were talking about this while I was visiting to these air shows. It was so great to go to them. My dad loves aviation. We're watching some videos on different aviation models and experts that have talked about it. But one of the things that, as a matter of fact, he trained in his younger years in the Air Force. It was one of the things he had really wanted to do. But we were always amazed at the precision and the commitment of the Snowbirds squadron as they flew in a formation of 9 planes with speeds up to 350 miles an hour, all at like wing to wing, about 6 feet apart. Incredible precision, incredible commitment to one another. But you know what? On most missions, they, like their American counterparts, the Thunderbirds, they don't usually fly in that tight of a formation unless it's a demonstration, like an air show. The only other time those pilots and those planes will fly that close, when they're that committed to one another, is when a group of those planes get caught in a storm overseas. They know that their survival depends on them not separating. So when do you stay committed? When do you fly that close? Only in the storms, when you can't afford to become separated. They have like a fixed point on the planes ahead of them that they focus on so that they lock into this follow the leader kind of pattern. Now, if we could only do that with our spouse, if we could only do that with our kids, with our important relationships, committed in difficult times to come closer together, to come closer to the Lord during a storm, instead of being pulled apart, which quite often happens. We need to follow the leader too. We need to keep our eyes fixed on the author and the finisher of our faith, on Jesus himself. And he wouldn't expect us to walk in uncommon commitment unless he demonstrated that same kind of commitment to all of us first. And he did. So let me give you 5 things that God has committed to do for you today. The first one is that he committed to prioritize you. Now, we know that in relationships, that's usually one of the first places we fail as human beings. We drop the ball and we don't prioritize other people the way that we should. I realized a long time ago as I got busy even in church work, even doing good things for the Lord, that if I allowed my work and even the things that I was called to do to take priority over my marriage or my relationship with my sons, that would be a great tragedy. You see, I had to be intentional to prioritize them, to be present when I was with them, to not just be there in body and spaced out all the time, but to actually be engaged in the moment. You know, God has prioritized you and I. So if he did it, that means that we can too. Turn with me to 1 John 3, verse 16. It says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. So he didn't just explain it to us. He did it. He put you first. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. So just as he did, we too need to be in this place where we prioritize the relationships in our lives the same way that he prioritizes you and me. Number 2, he committed to pursue you. Now, this is a very important one when it comes to relationships. Some of you who are here in the house or online that are married will understand what I'm saying, but some of us need to return to this one. Before some of you got married, you were in hot pursuit of one another. You couldn't get enough time together on the phone or going out to dinner, to a movie, going out with friends, buying flowers, doing nice things, being very intentional about your pursuit of one another. As I said earlier, Valentine's is coming up. This is an opportunity for some of you to be intentional. Buy a ticket. Take your husband or your wife out on a date. Just say, hey, let's go. Let's do this. Let's have some fun together. Life is too short. People get so busy and caught up with so many things that stress them out that they forget about the people standing right next to them. Don't stop pursuing one another. And that doesn't just apply to marriage. That applies to families. Dads, pursue your sons. Pursue your daughters. Take them out on a date. Show them what it's like to be a man of God before they run into all the wannabes out there. Moms, spend time with your sons and daughters. Prioritize them. Pursue them. Be persistent. Revelation 3, verse 20 says, "Look, I stand," or "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in." He's pursuing you. He's pursuing me. And we will share a meal together as friends. He is committed to you. He loves you so much. He's pursuing you. Number three, he committed to possess you. Now, that doesn't mean that in a spooky sense, like I'm going to be possessed. That's not what it's talking about. It means he's committed to this sense of belonging that he knows we need. You're not just a project or an experiment to him. You're his own possession. He loves you. 1 Peter 2:9, you are a chosen people. You are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. You know what? I'm in a marriage where we belong to one another. And so we need to have that same like-minded love that Christ has demonstrated to us. Number four, he committed to protect you. He is our refuge, our safe place. He is our protector, even from the days that we've had a hand in creating ourselves. I've been the author of many of the storms that I've created in my own life that he has protected me from, despite myself. And you know what? His protection helps me as a dad in how I protect my wife and my children. This is one of the roles as a husband and a dad I have always taken extremely seriously. Even as a pastor, as a spiritual father to all of you, this is something that I take serious. Unless we're studying and understanding the Word of God, then we're missing it. We're not just here to exist. We're here to be more like him, to reflect who he is, to see his truth operate in our lives. But how can we do that unless we study and dig in and live in community and provoke one another to good works? Even our pastoral team is committed to this, to protect you, to love you. May God help each one of us in our marriages, in our friendships, in our relationships within the church, in our relationships with our children. What does it profit you to gain all of the world's wealth, to do all these great exploits, and to lose the very people that God has entrusted you with? Take some time today. If you haven't, if you've been so busy that you haven't taken time to be with your kids, spend time with them. Take the time to protect them. Watch what they're watching. Watch what they're hearing. Have conversations to work through those times. Psalm 121, verse 7 says, "The Lord will protect you from all dangers. He will guard your life." Protect one another. And then finally, number five, he committed to purify you. To purify you. God knows we're going to blow it from time to time, but he is committed to give us a way through those moments. The Bible says he delights in Micah 7. He delights in showing us mercy. I practiced this with my boys, my sons growing up, because I love them. You have to give that mercy until people learn, until they work through, the same way God shows us his mercy. And through it, we are made clean. Ephesians 5, 25 to 26 says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word." Practicing forgiveness and understanding, being a listener more than being a talker sometimes. Sometimes we just have to say more by saying less. You know, my heart for all of you here today, both in the house and online, is that you would carefully think through all of your commitments, that you would remake, that you would reaffirm them as you allow God to change you and transform you so that you and I can walk in uncommon commitment to your kids, to your spouse, to your friends, to your family, your church, to every relationship that is important in your life. It's so, so key to be able to say to one another, to the people that you love, listen, I know there's going to be some challenges, some tough times that we're going to face, but I want you to know that you can count on me. I want you to know that I will be there for you. Your situation, even today, may seem like an impossibility, that this is too much for me. I can't make this work. Well, I would agree with that assessment. You cannot. But what does the scripture say? Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's only by his strength that we can do all things. It's only through him, including the restoration of broken marriages and families, as well as making new relationships work. Some of us have been so hurt over the years with the connections that we've had, we've just signed off on saying, you know what, it's not for me. I'm just going to do this myself. That would be an incredible tragedy because God has created you for community. And through his strength, we can live a life of uncommon commitment in every one of our connections. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your spirit at work within our lives. We thank you that you demonstrated what uncommon commitment looks like. I pray that we would be committed to our marriages and to our families, that we would pursue, that we would bring purity amongst one another, that we would give one another a sense of belonging and protection that only comes with trust. That in the midst of the busyness and all the things that we do, Lord, help us to prioritize our relationships with you first, and then with the relationships that mean the most to us. We are by far not perfect, but help us to seek what is good, pleasing, and perfect as a goal, knowing that we will accomplish those things as we reflect you within each one of our lives. I pray that you'd strengthen those with strained relationships today. I believe for miracles in the covenant relationships people have made within the relationship of marriage. I pray for families that are strained, that sons and daughters that are right now not speaking to their parents, that hope would come, that seeds would be planted, and that, Lord Jesus, you would do what only you can do. And help us to live a life of uncommon commitment in every relationship that we have. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God's best, Calvary. Look forward to seeing you again next week.